Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning. The show can be contagious.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspirational program. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a very good show planned for you tonight. I'm very excited to be here and get this program underway. But as always, we're going to invite the presence of the Lord into our program. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us, even the things that we take for granted, the things that we don't think are there. But even, Lord, you wake us up. Thank you, and we invite you into our program tonight and help us to take more from it than that which we've brought. These and other blessings we thank you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you want to be able to speak tonight, certainly press 1. And we'll be able to get you in here and give you an opportunity to make your commentary. I'm going to ask that you be short tonight, and we're going to be reminding you all of that throughout tonight's programming because we have a lot to cover. Let's go ahead first, and we're going to welcome one of my co-hosts that's joining us right now, Darren Deedy. Darren Deedy, welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're so glad to have you on with us this evening.
Good night, everyone. I'm excited to hear tonight's commentary myself. Welcome all.
All right. Excellent, excellent. So we're going to ask all of you all to stand by if you're just joining us. Tonight's topic is, why have a relationship with God? Why have a relationship with God if you're not getting what you want? You know, I mean, you can look at this as sometimes parents who, you know, they may not give their children everything that they want. Somehow or other, but they certainly do provide their needs. And I want you all to think about tonight's topic. Why have a relationship with God if you're not getting what you want? Let's go ahead and welcome all the way from the Peachy State, Miss J. Miss J, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Always a pleasure to have you with us as well.
Hello, everyone, and happy Friday. And once again, I'm glad to be on the show again. And I'm interested to see what everybody has to say on this topic.
All right, excellent, excellent, excellent. We certainly, if you want to be able to talk tonight to the topic, make certain that you press 1 early on your dial. You know, so, and I want to be able to give this disclaimer up front, as Ms. J often reads. Ms. J, why don't you go ahead and read that disclaimer, share that with our audience this evening.
Okay. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or listenership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice, and should not be taken as such. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and please enjoy the program tonight.
Awesome. Thank you, Ms. Jane. I want to say this here starting out because we got a lot. I mean, I'm telling you, we're going to try to fit in so much in the next 53 minutes. But I want to say this here, that the program tonight, you're going to hear several scenarios And it appears that God may have abandoned humanity, but that is not the purpose of tonight's program. It's not to present a negative image of God at all. So we want to put that out there. But at the end, I think you'll see how it all comes together. And we just want people to not lose faith or not lose hope, not lose trust in God, no matter what you're going through. And you're going to hear several scenarios tonight that are all inspired by true stories. And we're certainly hoping that you'll stay with us throughout the program to hear how it all can come together. Let me start with Daring Didi and first ask you, why would you have a relationship? First of all, do you have a relationship with God? And if you do, why would anybody have a relationship with God if they're not getting what they want? Is it about that?
No, I can actually relate. Having a relationship with God is the best thing I've ever had in my life, but also there's been summer times where I've had to take a break from him, feeling like the sun just wasn't shining on me, but I didn't realize the sun was shining. It was just a cloudy day. I initially, of course, went back to him, and I've never left him again, and I've learned to give thanks for all the ups and downs in my life. And to realize that he was with me during those down times. It was just the clouds were really thick. So it's a double-sided coin, but he's always there for you. But, again, we've all heard knock on his door and he shall open. And that is absolutely true.
Okay. Okay, excellent, excellent. Ms. J, I want to bring you in here and ask you that same question. Why would you have a relationship with God if you're not getting what you want?
Well, for me, I do have a relationship with God because all that I have originated from God, and I thank him for everything. But, you know, in Philippians 4:19, it tells us that God, he will supply our needs, but he never said that he would promise us everything that we want. So, you know, a lot of things you might want, but is that in God's plan? So that's the way I see it. And, you know, because I want to be a millionaire. A lot of us probably want to be that. But right now, it could happen, but I don't see it being in his plan, but it could be. So am I going to lose my relationship with him because I want all these extravagant things and I'm not getting it? No.
All right. Okay. So... let me go back and while I've got you, Ms. J, and if you want to speak to the issue tonight, you all press one on your dial. So a child growing up in a home, let's say they want things, material things. Is it the parent's job to provide all the material things that the child wants, even if the child's been pretty good? Ms. J, should they?
If a parent can do it, it's not where they're supposed to do it. But if they are able to do it, why not? But a parent should not have to go out and struggle to do that just because a child wants it. That's why they have to get with the child and get into the scripture and into life situations also to let them know that sometimes you can't have everything you want, all the materialistic things. Your need will be taken care of, but your want, you know, it might not be.
Okay, so here we are now. We're live on the show, you all. If you want to tune in, you got to call 347-857-1769. We're live on the air now. Call 347-857-1769. We're going to go to the phone lines and bring in Ms. Neela. Ms. Neela, thank you for joining us. We're going to ask you, Ms. Neela, should God give us everything that we want? I mean, he says, I will give you the desires of your heart.
Jesus says, knock.
Wait, say that again.
Knock, and it shall
yes,
be
can you
open
hear?
Unto you. Seek, and you shall find. And so whatever we need, we ask of the Lord in spirit and in truth. Sometimes we can ask out of his will. So when we finish praying, we need to tell the Lord, Lord, according to your will. Because we are finite. We just see from right here. We can't even see the next second. And the Lord knows everything that is going to take place with you and I. And so sometimes we may ask for something that we really need, and we think that we need it. We really need it, because that's how you feel. But God may be thinking a different way. And he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, said the Lord, because he knows the future. And if he gives us something that we ask for, or we need, or we want, it may not be according to his will. It may be something that will lead us down into hell and degradation, and we don't even know it. So we need to
trust
God. All
right, we're going to answer. Bye. We've got a lot to cover tonight, you all. We've got a lot to cover. So we're going to ask that if we can get our comments in 15 seconds or less, we'll be able to get to probably most, if not all, of it. And if you want to speak to the issue, please press 1 on your dial early, because afterwards we get bombarded and we can't promise you that we'll be able to get to you. All right, let me go to Ms. J. Here's our first scenario. We're talking about why have a relationship with God if I'm not getting what I want. So a parent, we've discovered that a parent's duty is basically to provide the children with their needs. So if God is not giving us everything that we want, then is he taking care of our needs? Ms. J., do you think he is? And if so, how?
I think God is taking care of our needs as long as we work along with him to meet our needs as much as possible. He gives us the ability to acquire decent jobs so we can get a home to stay and get food on the table. So, you know, I think with all the talent and ability that he has given us, he's given that to us to meet our needs, not necessarily our wants, but our needs.
All right, so, Daring Didi, I want to bring you in here. So the fact that God brings the sun in, even though it's a rainy day, the sun is still present. By him sending the sun takes care of vitamin D for us. We've learned in science, and it also helps the crops to grow. The rain serves a purpose. Everything serves a purpose, and all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, the Bible tells us. So then, is God taking care of our needs by sending the rain to grow the crops? Are our needs being taken care of, and we're unaware that he then promised us all of this, these riches here on earth, but he's taking care of our needs? Is that what God does, in your opinion?
Amen. You could not have said it better. Yes, like I said, when I came back to him, my initial request and my prayers were still not answered, but I did realize you hit it right on the nail. he was watering. You need water to grow. It just made me stronger. And that's all I can say about it, is there is no turning away from him. And I do glorify him and give him thanks even on my rainy days.
All right. So, Daring Didi, while I've got you here, if someone comes to you and who's very despondent and says to you, listen, I don't believe in that God stuff, because, you know, I used to pray, go to church, and all they want is money. And, you know, it's all commercialism. What do you tell them? They say, I don't even have a relationship with God. I don't even know if God exists. Almost like agnostic. I don't disbelieve, but I don't believe. You know, they're straddling the fence. What would you tell a person like that?
I would just encourage them to continue to seek, and that I would pray for them, and that they could understand the storm they may be going through right now, it's only momentarily. This stuff should change. And just to keep their head up, because there is no, I do believe that you don't need to go to the church to take your money, what have you, but it's those who pray together, and you come as a whole, and they're like family. So there's not a hidden agenda to steal your money. But being with like-minded people who believe, you can start feeling his presence.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Missy, I want to bring you in here and say, what about the people who say, Well, I don't have a lot of the, I don't have the problems that those church people got. They look like they pray and their prayers aren't even being answered. You know, it's like, why would I pray to a God that, I mean, those people at the church, they look like they got the biggest problems. So why would I pray to a God and then I go there to church? I remember when I used to go to church, all we had was problems. There was a lot of drama in church. So why would I go there? I mean, you know, I'm doing just fine. I don't even have the issues that those people have in church. What would you say to a person like that, Miss Jane?
Me personally, I would say, you know, when you go to the church or a place of worship, you go for yourself. You're not going for that other person. So you go there, you worship, you take in the word, you praise God and let and follow his step and do what you need to do. Don't worry about the other people because at the end of the day, they're the one that got to deal with God during judgment time, not you. So, you know, you have to pray for yourself right there. You don't check follow the way other people are doing it, you know. And if you feel uncomfortable in that situation or that church, that might be a sign for you to seek another source of praise, place to praise.
Okay, excellent. I love tonight's topic, you all. I just want you to know that. And, of course, if you're just joining us, tonight's topic is not by any means given the appearance, inference, or intent to make God look bad in any way, because that's not what we're doing. We're actually, it's kind of a reverse thing here to show the greatness of God. That's what the whole purpose is, to show that if you trust God, he will see you through. And it all comes down to trusting in God, walking by faith, exercising your faith. We're going to begin with some of our scenarios. Ms. Neela, I want to give you this first scenario here. We've got several of them, and we're actually a quarter of the way through the program. A 14-year-old, I'm going to several of you all on some of the same scenarios. This 14-year-old has been praying for 2 years for his divorced parents to get back together. For 2 years, this 14-year-old boy. It never happened as the father remarried, and now the 16-year-old is despondent with God and his parents. Why? Ms. Neela, why is he despondent with God? Because he prayed for 2 years to help my parents get back together, and it seemed like God disappointed him. So now he's despondent, upset with God. Why, Ms. Neela?
I don't know why, because I have come upon this as a school nurse for years. Children will come in. But one thing I had was to tell them, because I always open my Bible to that verse, that Isaiah 41, verse 10, that they must trust in God, because it is not God who does this. We have serpent. We have a dragon, the old serpent, the devil, who is like a roaring lion, wants to smash and just disgrace the family, because God puts the family together, and so he hates the family. He doesn't want to see the family prosper at all, to thrive in Jesus. And so he works
right,
over
right.
time. And so
right.
trust in God and give
all right,
his heart.
Ms. Neela, we've got some noise in your background. It sounds like a fan may be blowing right into your phone. I don't know what it is, but it's bringing noise over here on this end. But certainly, we appreciate your question, and we're hoping that you know, we can get through that noise. Ms. J, I want to bring you in here with the same scenario. This 14-year-old, he's despondent with God. We're talking about a child who doesn't understand, you know, that the enemy is out here. All he's heard was, yeah, that there's a Satan, there's a devil. But he doesn't understand that. All he understands is that he was close to his father, and now his parents did not get back together. His father's going to marry somebody else. So what could you tell this child for him to turn his attitude around to believe and trust in God? What could you tell him, Ms. Jane?
You know, I think I'm the wrong person to ask that question to, because I'm kind of similar to that, because when my husband passed and I prayed to God, I knew he was a good man. I knew we was faithful to him in all this, and we prayed for healing. And then when you lose someone after you done prayed and you was all into God, you don't understand as a grown person for a while. You understand, but you don't. So to tell it, explain to a child, that'd be one of the hardest things. All I can do is just talk with him and pray that, you know, we pray for healing, but God had other plans for him. And, you know, that's just hard.
Right. If you all want to speak to that issue or any of these scenarios, press 1, because you may have something that can share with a parent who's listening on this line tonight that need to hear a revelation that can help their child who may be going through this because they're faced with a divorce. And a lot of these kids today, they take stuff out on themselves when they are finding that the parents have divorced. So they need to hear from you all tonight. A parent is in desperation out here that may need to hear this, and along with some of the other scenarios we're talking about tonight, why have a relationship with God if I'm not getting what I want or if you're not getting what you want. So this 14-year-old kid, let's go to the phone line. Let's go to Ms. Vernell. Ms. Vernell, thank you for joining us this evening. It's good to have you with us.
Hello. How's everybody?
We're doing just fine. What do you tell a 14-year-old, Ms. Vernell?
Well, I had a situation similar to that. My sons were, they were around that age when my husband and I split up. My husband, it was infidelity in our marriage, and I walked away from him. They were very distraught, yes. Let me say this. All you can do is keep your children in prayer. You have to talk to them, and you have to try to get them to understand. Now, at first, my sons didn't understand because why did you leave, Mom? Okay, because you have to, and also my husband told them a lot of different lies. And so I had to explain to them truth, but even then, sometimes they still don't want to see it. They want to believe what he said to them. It, in time, they started seeing things because during the infidelity, he wound up having a daughter with a woman. So, you know, they started seeing things. But I believe God started showing them things, the truth of what was happening. And so now, you know, my husband is deceased now. So my sons, they're fine. But I'm steady praying for them that God will continue to strengthen them and to bring them out of darkness so that they can see truth. Not so much in the marriage, but right now because he's gone, but in Christ. Because one of my sons, he feels like he doesn't believe in God now because he feels like God took his father from him. And I had to explain to my son, God didn't take your father from you. Diabetes took your father from you. And so, you know, a lot of times the kids don't understand, but through prayer, we have to continue to pray. Pray without fasting, without ceasing and pray and fasting sometime because they really need to be able to know that there's a God and how much he loves them.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Darren Deedy, if you got anything you want to share on this 14-year-old, and we certainly appreciate all comments, you all. I mean, he's like, they don't understand this stuff. So what hope do they have?
That's all. I have to agree. Just pray with them. Let them know that God is always there for them, and he's unbiased to any of their thoughts. And to share their thoughts with God, never to lose contact, and just keep him as your solid, you know, foundation. They eventually will grow up and they'll see the light. We're all adolescents at one time, and we all know we've been there, done that. But it's very wise to, yes, seek for him and his guidance always.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. You're listening live to your one-hour inspirational program. You still have time to reach out to somebody, text them, and let them know this is a live one tonight, that they have time to listen to the show. They can go to drjesswalk.com and hear the show in its entirety, 1 hour, 20 minutes after the broadcast ends. And they can certainly listen online at drjesswalk.com. Let's go to another scenario here. Ms. J, I'm going to throw this one out at you and several of others of you. This husband's been laid off from work and has not sought employment. That means he's not even looking for employment. And this has been going on for the past 2 years because he insists he is waiting until God rings his phone for employment for him. In the meantime, his wife is despondent and frustrated with him and also threatens to leave him and take their children because he's sitting around lounging and gaining weight while she is working two jobs to support the family. The husband now has become despondent and questions, why should I have a relationship with God? But see, you know, here we got this man sitting around for 2 years, and he's waiting on the phone to ring. But in the meantime, his wife's working these two jobs, and he's gaining weight, lounging, watching television. Miss J, now he's despondent with God because the wife is threatening to leave him and take the children.
He has no reason to be upset with God. Number one, faith without work is dead, okay? He lost his faith. He ain't trying to work on getting another job, so he's dead now. He needs to get out this time and get out there and try to do something. Then God will assist him, you know, but he's just sitting down being lazy, and his wife got a good reason to get upset. And why would he just sit down and wait? You know, the jobs probably don't even know that he's not even unemployed. So, you know, he needs to get out there and do some work. And then try to get mad with God. You're the one losing the faith. God's there for you, but you're not there for him.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by, Miss Jade. Miss Neela, I want to bring you in here. So what's missing here? He's upset with God because the phone's not ringing in his favor. Miss Neela, how dare him? Or perhaps she's on mute. Go ahead, Miss Neela.
I pass.
You pass on that one. Okay, let's bring you in, Miss Burnell. Miss Burnell, what are you doing in a situation like this here? You know, the wife is like, he's sitting there waiting for the phone to ring. That's what he tells her. But in the meantime, he's gaining weight. So he's eating real good on her dollar. So, Ms. Burnell, I mean, how can you have peace in your home when he's taking her through this?
Well, first of all, he wouldn't have to wait on God to ring the phone. I will ring his bell. I would be tough on him, honey. He'd have to get off his duff, and he'd have to get out there and find a job, lest he would be homeless.
Well, so are you saying your husband that you love, are you saying you're about to kick him out?
I certainly would, because even though I would love him, sometimes tough love, you have to give a person, a man especially, you have to give them tough love in order for them to act right. Now, what he's doing right now is taking her for granted. She's out there working two jobs, killing herself, while he's sitting on the sofa eating bonbons. That is not right. No, I would have to be tough on him. Baby, you would have to get up and get a job. It's time to get off that sofa. Let's turn off the TV and get a job. Or you will not have a place to live tonight.
So then he starts saying, well, you act like you my mama. And so it's like, you know, how you know I'm not looking during the daytime? What are you telling
me? Ain't nobody ringing his phone. And I would be like his mama. I would have to get him up off that couch. No more sitting on the couch. No more eating bonbons. It's time to go.
All right. So he has no reason to be despondent with God because he's not doing his part. Is that what I'm hearing? He's not doing his part.
That's exactly what I'm hearing. Yes, that's
okay,
what you
so
hear.
Okay, so in other words, in order for us to show that God is in working for us, we have to do our part. So, Ms. Renee, let me ask you, where does the faith come in? Is it the faith that he can sit there and say, well, shoot, I'm going to wait until this phone ring? Is that faith?
No, that's not faith. That's dead faith right there. And,
okay.
And you know what? Sometimes you have to step in and talk to him, pray with him, and also show him faith without works is dead. If you're sitting on your tail, you're not getting anything accomplished.
Okay. So, in other words, then, chances are, if he exercises his faith by doing his part, then God is more than likely, God's going to do his part. That man will find a job. Would you agree?
I'm sure he would. If not, he'd be out the door. That would be sitting around taking care of me.
Does not take care of his family is less than an infidel. That's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. Let's go to scenario three,
absolutely.
You all. We're halfway through the program. We still have a lot to cover. Darren Deedy, here's another situation. A husband and a wife are going into foreclosure. They're going into foreclosure because their paychecks are not enough to keep up with the increase in the mortgage. You know, the mortgage has gone up sky high. They have been praying for over 6 months. Now they're wondering, why have a relationship with God? Because They can't afford it, and they're about to be evicted. Darren Didi, what do you say to this couple? 6 months, and they're about to be evicted.
You know, that's a tough situation because I would imagine they're both really working really hard. I could only pray for them. And again, you know, when you pray for others, that's when your prayers seem to become answered on their own that you had used to pray for yourself. When you stop focusing on yourself and praying for others, in turn, your prayers become answered. I know it's a flip 22, if you want to call it, or, that's all I could do, but that's a pickle to be living in. They must probably have to sell their house, unfortunately. Things change, downsize, but let them know that God is always with them, but in prayer,
all right,
they shall heal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Praying for them. Ms. Neela, can we bring you in now? I mean, what hope can you give them? You know, you're a member of their church, and the sister has told you about her crisis. Now, she wants to hear more than that you're just going to pray for her and keep her in prayer. She wants to know how she's going to be delivered. So what are you telling Sister Neela?
Well, her house is going to be foreclosed. You know, sometimes we do not weigh the cost before we jump ahead. I've known a lot of friends who have been in the same situation. And I don't know, it's hard, but because sometimes the woman or the wife is very, she can save. But sometimes what this lady told me is that the husband just buys shoes and, you know, just buys shoes. He must wear, you know, new shoes every Sabbath or whatever. And she's there working a little bit of money and trying to save. And so they lost their hopes because of that. So the husband needs to go and get some training, some psychological help, because he has a problem if he just loves to just buy pretty shoes. And so that's why a lot of people go into financial crisis, because they don't know how to spend their money. They need to come to one of your classes that you have, how to budget. And
right.
Because they don't work the money, but they don't know how to manage money. And so they go into
right.
these crises. Sorry, it happens.
So, and certainly, and I think in a situation like that, and all of these scenarios are inspired by true stories. And the one that I saw there, when you continue to trust God in this family situation, that, see, God sees all. He sees all. I can lawfully call it the totality of the circumstances. He sees the entire picture. And so it could have been that family right there, God saw what was coming ahead and allowed the foreclosure to take place for their good. If we just believe that it works together for our good, for those who love the Lord, then there's a good likelihood that you got a better place for them. And just so happened in this scenario, this is just one of several that I know of, it worked out to their advantage. Got a better place, you know, with having to pay less, and they were able to call that their new home. All right, we're asking you to stand by. We're live here. Why have a relationship with God if I'm not getting what I want, or if you're not getting what you want? Ms. Vernell, we're going to bring you in for this next one here. These are siblings who prayed around the clock for their very ill sister for over 3 months. They prayed and prayed and prayed. Some of them prayed on the hour, but the sister passed away anyhow. Now the siblings wonder, why have a relationship with God? Ms. Vernell, what could you possibly tell those siblings?
Well, first of all, God knows our future. He knows what's best for us, and depends on the severity of her illness. Because sometimes things get to the point where your body or whatever is so damaged, and sometimes you have to wind up going to sleep. As I said, God knows best. And the God that I've become to know, he's in the saving business. He's not in the business of losing his children, even sometimes at death. On your deathbed, He's there to save you. So sometimes it's necessary that some of us may have to go to sleep in order to be saved. That's what you call a bad situation turns into good.
Okay, so you know, you think that siblings who have been praying for their sister, you think that they could actually handle you telling them that that was a bad situation that will turn good? And they're thinking, what good came out of that if my sister passed away?
Well, they're going to miss her, but in time, the heart will heal. As we've all lost someone and our hearts have healed, we think about them, we love them, we keep them in our hearts. But they would have to understand who God is, first of all, and understand that death is a part of life. They need to understand things from the beginning. That's where the teaching comes in. A lot of people need to be taught from beginning to end how things operate. And death is a part of this life, so we are going to be, a lot of us are going to leave here. Even though people pray for us sometimes, it's still for our good to be saved on our deathbed.
You know, that's a very interesting point. That's a very interesting point. We, and in that situation, that's one of those situations where all of these situations, it actually comes down to two things, a little bit more, but it's trusting God. Trusting God no matter what. Trusting God no matter what. You know, we can only do our part. They prayed. That was doing their part. But God, knowing the totality of the circumstances, knew what was best, because he gave the sister, obviously, peace by taking her out of her suffering. And so if we as those who are living could understand that God knows what's best from the beginning to the end because he created it all, then that's where that trust comes in, and our exercise of faith, that faith could be, Lord, we did our part, but you knew best, and that's what we come to accept. Ms. J, anything you want to add to that?
You know, I just want to throw out a little quick, short testimony on that, and I can relate to that. After my husband passed, I met with one of my old pastors and all. He met me a couple years later, and he saw that I was like a new person, and we talked, and he said, you know, I hate that. I'm sorry your husband passed, but would you be where you are today, you, if he was still here? I thought that was kind of rude at first. But then I thought about that thing. He said, because I thought about that. I said, you know what? I found myself again in the Lord. I got more in the word. I did better for myself. He had done his job. Now it was time for me. So I became a new person doing new things, having more, doing this. So now I'm doing my part. So, you know, I just have to go according to his plan. And, his, you know, like you don't want to see your loved one go, but it's in the plan, and it was meant for me to do better from that, to learn and to do better from it. And,
you know
I'm sad, but I'm thankful.
Right. And so it'll come down to, like, 1 Corinthians 13. If you read all of that chapter, you know, we look through a glass darkly, but then there will be a time when we will understand by and by. Ms. Neela, you want to add anything to that?
No, you've said it all. That young lady have said it all. What Jesus has planned for us, it is well done.
All right,
well
here we
done.
Go with the next. Here we go on with the next scenario, you all. This is a woman at church. All right, Darren Dee Dee, we're going to give you this one here. This woman at church, praying for four months. That God would send the man of her dream into her church, right? 4 months she's praying. Well, a man who appeared to fit that profile entered, but another woman intercepted because that day the woman who did the praying stayed home from church because she had gotten tired of praying for the same thing. 6 months later, the other woman and the man married. The initial woman now wonders, why have a relationship with God and she didn't even get inspired to go to church that day because she wasn't inspired to go to church that day. So she feels that God teased her because she missed that one day, and prior to that had not missed church in 2 years. So, Darren G., what do you say to this woman? How could God do that to her?
Well, that sounds like a crazy story. I mean, how could she think that one day is going to change her life?
Right.
I feel sorry for her. Yeah. I'm speechless.
Right. So, I mean, that one day, Ms. Rendell, let me bring you in here. That one day she missed, and that was the man that appeared to her profile. But this other lady, because she wasn't there, this other lady got him. Ms. Rendell, this is inspired by a true story.
He might have fit her profile, but let's see, listen. God had other plans. That wasn't her husband.
Okay.
Anything that's for you will be for you. God don't make mistakes for one thing.
Exactly.
Anything that's for you will be for you. That was not her husband. Just because she missed the day of church, that doesn't make that. I mean, how could she feel like God betrayed her? Come on. I've been praying for a husband since my husband died. I haven't got him yet, but God let me know I don't work on your time. He doesn't. He'll work on my time, but you know what? That one day when he's ready for me to meet someone, God had to say to me that I need you to get yourself together first. You have a lot of ghosts in your closet from years ago. And then I actually finally realized that it's a lot that God had to work on me with. First of all, work on me with getting closer to him, and praying all the time, you know, praying without ceasing. So, you know, the Lord had to show me when I'm ready for you to have that special person in your life, he will be there. That means be patient. Don't lose patience with God because he don't work on your time.
Right. So now, Ms. Burnell, what's happening is in the church, she's spreading larceny or gossip with some of the other sisters in there and saying that woman who was her friend, she's saying she got my husband. Ms. Burnell, what do you say about that? She's telling other people, that woman got my husband. That was supposed to be my husband. I mean, if she came to you and she's saying that, what would you tell her?
I would tell her to get over it. I would tell her to get over it. He's my husband.
You know what? God's plan was for that lady not to be in church that day. For this other lady, because that was meant for the other lady, not her.
Okay.
That's right.
All right.
Exactly.
So now she wants to bring confusion to the church because, you know, she's in her feelings. And it was like she's been the one praying, and now this other lady, all of a sudden she gets this man. But you know what? That's a good point. And so the thing is, I love what you all are saying tonight because we're seeing that people are despondent with God for the wrong reasons. And you know, we don't even have the power to be that daring that we can have an attitude with God because all things work together. There could have been that this woman could have gotten with that man. And that had been the worst thing that she could have done, like you all are saying. You know, because that's not her husband, you all are saying. And I think, so because God knows what's best. Would you all agree?
Absolutely.
Definitely. Yes.
Absolutely agree.
Ms. Burnell, we're going to give you this next scenario, and we're running up on being out of time here. And this is here's a single mom, a single mother, living in the project. She's been praying for 5 years that God would deliver her out of the project. Okay? She watched her neighbor, who only lived there in the project for 2 years and does not even go to church at all, she watched this neighbor progress into a brand new home but has no clue how she got it. Now the single mom wonders, why have a relationship with God? I've been praying for 5 years, and this woman, my neighbor, been there 2 years, and now she got a brand new home. Ms. Rendell, what do you tell that woman? I mean, that don't seem fair.
Well, first of all, she needs to work on getting her life together as far as maybe her credit, maybe a job, maybe money, you know, having some money put away. This woman that got all of that, this woman might have had everything in order. This one here that's still in the project, she may still be on welfare or something. A lot of times, you got to work on you. You can't blame God for everything. God sees what we need. He knows what we want. And he wants to provide those things. But now you living in a world, first of all, remember the Bible tells us, render unto Caesar what is Caesar and unto God what is God. Now, if you're not working on yourself, your finances, your everything that you need, your job, things like that, then of course you're going to stay where you are. God can deliver you, but you got to do your part. There we go back with faith without works is dead again. So she's got to do her part. You want to get up out of there. You want to get up out of there? Go get your credit straight. How are you going to get up out of there with a bunched up credit, no money?
Right. Well,
she was probably praying for a sugar daddy.
That's another reason she's still there.
Exactly.
I love what you all are saying because you're showing, but Vernell, you said something I want to go back. You said you can't blame God for everything. Does that mean that you can blame God for some things?
No, because he has his time for everything to happen. And lot of times, God could be trying to show us things that we need to do in our lives, and we're blinded to the fact that he's showing us this, so we sit on our tail and we do nothing. Yes, you can pray, but then sometimes you got to get things together yourself.
All right, so when you say she needs, and I love what you all are saying because as a therapist, this is what I often tell people as well, that you got to work on you. It's not God's fault. You got to work on you. If it's a woman seeking a relationship, you know, you work on you. If it's a man and he's 355 pounds, you know, and he's wondering why can't he get a woman, you got to work on you. You know, I mean, you know, cut out that box of donuts he eats every day. You know, you got to work on you. You know, so is that God's? No, it's not. It's not his fault. You got to work on you. So I love what you all are saying. We're almost out of time here, and I want to go on to the next one, that single mom. But before we do, Ms. J, I mean, what are your thoughts on this here? I mean, the project's 5 years, and that neighbor just got in 2 years, and she got a brand new house.
Number one, evidently she ain't doing nothing. Like I said, she must be praying for the wrong thing to get out. But if she friend with that lady, go and ask her what she doing. Maybe she needs somebody to help her to know how to get out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but then again, God could be showing her, you know, it could, but she's not paying attention to what she needs to do. So she really don't want to get out. She just want to complain and blame God.
Okay, that's a beautiful point that you mentioned. If that's her friend, and even if it's not, ask her. Ms. J, I'm going to give you a true scenario here also. I remember I wanted a luxury car. I wanted a luxury car, and I just felt it was out of my league. I wanted that luxury car, and I felt I wouldn't be able to afford this here. And the car I wanted was a Jaguar. And let me tell you, so one day this man, I was at the traffic light, and I pulled, you know, a man pulled up next to me, and a Jaguar, beautiful Jaguar. And so I rolled my window down, and he wrote, you know, I got his attention, and I say, sir, now this was within a matter of a minute when the light, you know, was there. I say, sir, how do you drive a Jaguar? I've always wanted to drive a Jaguar. He said, you can do it too. And so I say, well, will you show me how? That man said, yeah, pull over on the side. He pulled over, and we got out, and we started talking. And this man said to me, he said, all you got to do is just have a little business and lease your vehicle. You can even lease a used vehicle. And do you know what? After I listened to that man and he spent maybe 20 minutes with me, he took time. And Ms. J, the fact of the matter is the Bible tells us we have not because we ask not. And that man shared that information with me. And do you know within 6 months, I had my first Jaguar, a leased Jaguar.
Yep.
And today
yep.
I'm on my third one. So, you know, yep. that's a very good point. Or maybe she could just go over there and ask. But sometimes
exactly.
we're too embarrassed to ask. Darren Deedy, I want to bring you in. Darren Deedy, if you're hurting for something, how important is it for somebody to ask instead of blaming God?
Ask and you shall receive. I know it's cliche, but it's so true. And sometimes your prayers aren't answered because it's not in your storybook. And you don't realize that until years later when you realize you were so much better not getting what you actually pray for. You've heard the saying, be careful what you pray for. You might get it. So
absolutely.
That's my scenario. Yeah.
Absolutely. 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 And, you know, we're almost out of time here. We got to go on a little fast. Another scenario, you all. Let me just ask, I want to just throw this out here. Anyone of you all can volunteer to say, I want to ask, have any of you all ever been to maybe your dream vacation that you haven't gone yet, but you would like to go somewhere? You know, whether it was London or whether it was Hawaii, any one of you all, but you haven't been there yet, but that's on your bucket list. Anybody, just volunteer.
Okay, I can answer that. Plus, I want to say something about that. I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay,
I haven't been
go
on
ahead.
A lot of my dream vacations, but this is what I do. I travel out of the country a lot. I travel. And people say, how you travel so much? You got all that money. No, I don't. If you want to travel, you get with these travel agencies that you can pay monthly, and you can go on anywhere you want to go. And people don't understand that. If you want to go your dream vacation, you can do it.
Miss Jay,
you know,
I'm glad that you brought that up, too, because I always wanted to go to London. I've always wanted to go to London. And one day, and I just said, oh, a trip over to London is going to cost me probably $15,000 to $20,000. $15,000 to $20,000. And you know what? I never even researched it, Miss Jay. I never
it's
even
not
looked
cost
at
that much.
Cost, any of that stuff. But I just felt in my mind that it's out of reach. It's out of touch. I would never be able to afford that. So we can sometimes condition our mind, and it's not God's fault. It's because
exactly.
we don't do our part. Then I met a lady who was from London, you know, lived in London. She was visiting my church one day, and she was a diplomat. And it ended up, we started communicating, and we started dating. And then I went to London, and it had nothing to do with her diplomatic status, but the trip was less than $550. $550 on Virgin Atlantic Airlines. And it was one of the most beautiful flights I've ever. It was a long flight, but it was a beautiful flight. And I had, all that time, I had thought to go to London, $15,000 or $20,000. So you're right. You can even pay
travel
agencies and to be able to go. So
right.
We've got a couple more.
Well,
Miss
you should have taught me something. I'm gonna have to get on my duff.
Oh yeah, girl. I'm telling you, because I was in Italy and Greece, and I don't think I spent $3,000. I'm all over the place.
Absolutely, because see, we have not because we ask not.
We ask not. I get it now.
But there is nothing too hard for God. There's nothing
True.
Too hard for God. Why wouldn't He give us good things? But as long as
Absolutely.
We do our part, okay. So. We got to move on, Miss Jay. We're going to have you close us out in about 4 minutes. Why have a relationship with God? That's what we're talking about tonight. Why, if you're not getting what you want, so when you close us out, it'll be based on that. Let me go here now and bring in Miss Neela. Miss Neela, I want to bring you in for this next scenario. This woman, she was having major issues with her constant weight gain. She just couldn't stop gaining weight because she kept snacking all day. She prayed for more than 1 year, asking God to help curb her appetite by using different dietary stuff. She prayed for more than 1 year. Instead of her losing weight, she gained 27 more pounds than the weight she initially started with upon her beginning prayer. Now she wonders, why have a relationship with God? You know, even though she didn't give up the ice cream and the pies and the cakes and the sodas and stuff, but now she's despondent because God didn't curb her appetite, and she couldn't say no to McDonald's fries. So, Miss Neela, what do you say to her?
Wow. Wow. Have mercy. You know, many of us really have this problem, and it's not because of God's fault. But
if we want to do something, we could want to forever. But if we do not yield our will to God and say, God, could you please take my will and change me, give me victory, give me deliverance, and not only asking for deliverance from the Lord and believe it, but get somebody so you can have a relationship with, say, you know, I'm trying to lose weight and I need somebody to help me to talk with and to see how I can work through this. And they would, maybe they could exercise together, they could cook together, and, you know, just something like that. Get some help from someone who they can trust and talk about it and live it. It takes sometimes more than just trying by yourself. You need somebody so you can say, you know, keep me so that I can give an account, you know, to be able to give an account of what we do. So it will help us.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. We want to bring in one of our sponsors, Ms. Cross. Ms. Cross, thank you for your patience. Ms. Cross, what do you say? I mean, here it is. When people get despondent with God because they're not having their way, it's like a child having a tantrum. What do you say to people when it's like they want to blame God for their not being able to do certain things? What do you say, Ms. Cross?
No, good evening, Dr. Walker. Good evening, everyone. I would just say, you know, just continue praying. You know, don't blame God for it. Just continue praying to God, and he will give you the desire of your heart.
All right. So, but doesn't that require us to do certain things to go after that? Or are we supposed to just be like the bird, just eat, just fly around, and just wait till somebody drops some food?
No. No, you have to do something. You know, as they say, faith without works is dead. So if you need something to be done, you have to do some work in order to get that done. You know, because it's very interesting, the different things that you were talking about with the different scenarios and things that's going on. You know, and as you said, if she just was absent one day and then someone else got the man, that wasn't her man to begin with. Because, you know, as I said, you were there all along, and the one day somebody got him, what God has for me is for me. So, you know, that was not for her. Somebody has got it. And what I call the dream, my dream vacation would be Hawaii.
Okay.
One day.
So when do you plan? Do you have a date to go there?
No, I don't have a date, but I've been to London. I've been to quite a few places.
But you said your dream is for Hawaii. Did you set a date to go there? And have you prayed that God will let you go to Hawaii?
No, I never did. But I just said maybe one day.
Oh, so you use the words maybe. Okay, so you know with maybe, the words maybe, and this is not a criticism, but the words maybe is uncertain. It's uncertain.
No, well, if I make up my mind, it will be certain.
Oh, I see. Okay, listen, we're out of time tonight, you all. We're going to let Miss Day go ahead and close us out. I have a relationship with God if you're not getting what you want? Or is it really our own fault? Miss Day, close us out, please.
Okay, God sees more than we see, and he knows more than we know. He works in ways beyond our comprehension. If we agree to follow him, only when we understand what he's doing, we always stop short of experiencing his blessings to us. And sometimes he may be showing us things that we want, but we're not paying attention to it. So what I'll say tonight is just keep a true and real and faithful relationship with God, and anything can be possible.
All right, and on that note, we're clearly out of time. Listen, I want to thank all of you all for taking time out to be with us tonight. We certainly hope that you received a blessing from this. I certainly did, and I certainly look forward to more programming like this here. Please join us here tomorrow morning. We've got a special day tomorrow. It's Miracle Prayer Day. We start out at 6:30 in the morning, and it goes to 8:30, so it doesn't tie. And let me tell you something. copy. The word of God is your sword. You use it. The word we're talking about, the word of God is your sword if you use it. Now, we know that a sword is a powerful piece of equipment. It's a very powerful one. And then imagine that God's word could be likened unto a two-edged sword. It is so powerful only if we know how to use it. Our speaker tomorrow, we're going to have a guest speaker that's going to share with us how to make God's word our sword and be able to use it. Listen, of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow morning's program, we'll be back next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walk Show or next for your one-hour inspirational program. Until either tomorrow morning or next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dr. Walker.
Good night,
everyone. Great show as usual. God bless you all. Have a good night, everyone.
Have a good night.
Okay. God bless you all. Mr. Lewis and everybody.